everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Bam on Giannis. Awesome. The best defensive performance of the year. But it was the second best performance on a basketball court last night. I give you Thomas Snacks Lee, Jackson State student manager on senior night.
Yeehaw.
Checked in and spotted up from the same place.
Thomas.
The I love. Nobody doesn't like Snacks Lee.
Well, of course.
Nobody doesn't awesome like Snacks Lee.
Nobody doesn't like that's the truth. No one does.
The National Collegiate Players Association appealing to the NCAA to protect the health of student athletes and hold all NCAA tournament games in empty gyms to protect all from coronavirus. March Madness with no fans? We've already seen soccer games in Italy played in empty stadia and postponed outright. Tokyo Marathon was run yesterday. They told all non-pros they couldn't run to minimize numbers. NBA press release, fist pumps instead of high fives and handshakes. Tim, the prospect of empty arena for NCAA tournament, how do you consider it all?
I mean, it's hard to even fathom. And you know, if they have to go that way, they have to go that way. And in a way, the NCAA tournament is built with, you know, on TV money and everything else, you could make it work, but it would be so strange for everybody involved to be in one of those situations, which, as you said, we've only seen a few times for very different reasons. We saw the Baltimore Orioles play in an empty stadium a few years ago. We've seen it in soccer, but you work all year. You go all summer and fall and, you know, winter to get to the tournament, to March Madness, and have the fans and everybody there and the band, and all of a sudden you're playing in the seats are empty. I can't imagine what this would be like for everyone.
You say it'd be better off canceling it then than playing in an empty arena?
I would lean that way. I mean, if you can't have the fans there, I don't know what the purpose of the game is, really.
Wow. Jackie Mack, I see how you're reacting to Tim saying I would cancel it rather than. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, so Kansas is number one. Do you think they're feeling that way after this topsy-turvy season or any of these top teams? I understand what you're saying, Tim. It would be incredibly odd. And yet, we're in a little bit of murky waters here, and this isn't like the Olympics, which is over 140 days away, Tony. This is in a couple of weeks. So you can understand why the NCAA is taking every precaution necessary to look at this closely and figure out if there is a way to hold these games the way they're normally be held. If not, you can't cancel the NCAA tournament. These teams have been working hard all year. You just said yourself, all these players, they have a right to go ahead and compete and find out who has the best team. And if you can't win, if you can only win because of a band and of fans, come on now. Mm-hmm. You got to have a winner.
Frank Isola.
That's how this thing works.
For sports fans in this country, March means one thing. It's college basketball. It's the conference tournaments and, of course, the NCAA tournament. And it's about the student section, the band. The East Regional is going to be played right down the street here at Madison Square Garden. To not play it at all, I can't imagine that. But the idea that they would play in empty arenas, hey, the bottom line is still let them play and we could watch it on TV, but that would be a major bummer. And Tony, you talked about it before. You know, Juventus and Inter Milan, the two top Italian
that
soccer
game was
teams,
canceled.
They were supposed to play over the weekend and that game got canceled. It was going to be in an empty stadium and then it ended up getting canceled.
Regardless. Woody Page, where are you on this?
Well, they're not going to cancel, but I'm somewhat surprised that they come out and already you've talked about it. I mean, really, let's wait a little closer. I know what you're saying, Jackie, but this makes it very alarming to a lot of people. And universities, what are they going to do? Are they going to send their basketball teams to Salt Lake City or to California if they're in the East, really, and there's an epidemic going on in this country. I just think that they do need to go ahead and play, even if it's in an empty building. I've been in situations where there have been almost empty buildings because I covered the ABA, and so I saw a lot of games like that. However, I think it's important that you move forward. It's a part of the essence of this country. Talk about all the brackets, and I'm not trying to downplay that, but millions of people participate in this, and if they just have to watch it on television, there's nobody there, the players are still going to play hard.
Jackie, something you want to add?
Yeah, can I point out the irony of this, though? I was at Boston Garden on Saturday night for a Houston Rockets-Boston Celtics game. There were over 16,000 people in there. As we're worrying about the NCAA tournament, the NBA is going on business as usual every night with thousands of people congregating all over our country.
The NBA, I find that a little ironic. NHL, though the NBA did release that statement we showed you before about trying to limit the number of handshakes between players and fans before games. South by Southwest, I mean, we're seeing huge companies pull out of that, though. I mean, it's happening before our eyes. And it's always, you know, evolving. We're going to see. The NCAA says they're continuing to monitor the situation. We have to accept that representation and move on. NBA last night, Miami 105, Milwaukee 89. Bam Adebayo. I mean, this is his coming out party all season. He's an all-star. The things he did to Giannis last night, though, no one in the whole league has been able to do it all year. Giannis was 1 for 10 with Adebayo on him. 13 points for the game. Jackie? Did the Heat show you something last night, or was it just a back-to-back road game for Milwaukee in March?
Well, maybe a little bit of both. I'm not ready to proclaim that the Heat's going to meet the Bucks in the conference finals, which I think Woody did last week or the week before. This is what I am going to tell you, though. They figured out a blueprint of how to beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
The blueprint,
and that is load up and protect the rim and don't let anybody go to the basket. And they did. They were so good defensively. But here's the interesting thing, Tony. They were in a terrible defensive slump before this. They were 14 and 14 over their last 28 games. Their defensive rating was up around 113. Mm-hmm. So this is actually had been not been the norm lately for them. The other thing I will say is when Giannis and Chris Middleton combined for 29%, chances are, just like any other team, they're going to have a
That's why I laughed when you brought up the idea of a blueprint. Yeah, the blueprint is have Bam Adebayo, who is out of this world right now, and have Jimmy Butler, who you know how he's built. Frank Isola, what did you see last night from Miami and from Milwaukee?
Well, Toronto did the same thing with Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka. Yeah. He put long defenders on Giannis, hope for the best. Now, Giannis was 0-for-4 on threes, so he's not knocking down his three-point shot, and he only went to the free throw line. He took two free throws, so that's important, too. You're keeping him off the line. But a couple of things. Number one, can someone else every once in a while carry the Milwaukee Bucks? Eric Bledsoe and Wes Matthews, the starting back court, didn't do anything. And let's remember this as well. They were playing the second night of a back-to-back. I get it. Miami beat them early in the season without Jimmy Butler in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. This game meant a lot more to Miami than it did to Milwaukee.
I will add to this also, Miami, part of that blueprint is hitting almost 50% of your threes. And the one flaw on the Bucks is they're a very middle of the NBA team in three-point field goal defense. They're number one in overall field goal percentage defense. You can't score inside on them at all. But if you hit your threes, you've got a chance. And I think when we see a league where every team is shooting 40 threes at night, you get some crazy results. You get teams that beat good teams and lose to bad teams. And Miami has that kind of range because, you know, all of a sudden Jay Crowder is hitting 5 threes in a game. That changes the outcome.
Woody Page?
I thought what was interesting about the Miami Heat, that they were being aggressive against him and the Bucks. Rather than waiting for the game to come to them, they were taking it outside and making it more difficult for the Greek Freak to be able to actually work his way inside. If you notice, there were occasional situations where he'd try to go inside, he'd take it back out, try to come back in, and that leads to what was said earlier, that you got to have help, and he wasn't getting much help. However, I would say this. The last two games have been somewhat alarming because they haven't scored 100 points after that incredible third longest streak in the history of the NBA. So it seems like maybe the back-to-backs finally getting to them when they were undefeated in back-to-back for most of the season.
They were, though. You don't play back-to-back in the postseason. Woody, on Adebayo, you said he would finish second in your voting for Most improved player.
I think he's proved. He's proved that he's the most improved, other than LeBron James.
Okay. All right, you got jokes. Okay, I thought you had somebody else ahead of him. I mean, it's an incredible thing. Siakam and Adebayo this year, both taking their game to the next level. We'll move on. The Yankees. Aaron Judge going in for his third round of shoulder testing. Three rounds of testing. Who needs three rounds of testing? What is he, a CPA? Brian Cashman said today, likely Judge will miss opening day as they continue to try to find out why his shoulder injury is moving to his pec. The pesky pec shoulder injury. Severino went out last week and said, they were okay without him. Stanton went out and you were like, I saw that coming, and they were okay without him. But Frank, what does it all add up to now?
Well, you have to be concerned, but remember last season, the team that won the World Series lost their big bopper, Bryce Harper. Washington goes on to win. So you can survive without these big bats. It's not always about hitting home runs, but you got to be concerned now. Stanton, his health, he's always hurt. But Judge now, for a young player, this is now back-to-back seasons, and I just wonder, with a lot of athletes, especially baseball, basketball's like this, do they ever give themselves a break? It's almost like they work out too much. It's like we have too many of these injuries. These guys become so big and strong. Next thing you know, they're spending most of their time on the injured list.
Tim Kalishaw?
You know, and Frank mentioned last year, Stanton and Judge missed a ton of games. The Yankees still won over 100. Right. I think the bigger concern, I mean, you'd love to have those guys. Obviously, there's a little bit of a worry if it's going to go into the season. The bigger concern is those pitching injuries they've had in the last, you know, couple months with Severino and Paxton, and that's where they need to get better after getting Cole. But they're still so loaded everywhere. They can play Gardner and Tauchman and Hicks in the outfield. They can be all right for quite
a while.
Yeah, I agree. I think what we saw last year at the Yankees, we kept having the same kind of conversation. What are they going to do without Judge? What are they going to do without Stanton? What are they going to do without those pitchers? And they just continued to fight their way through it with people like LeMahieu that most people had not even paid any attention to, and the guy almost won the most valuable player. I think they have enough strength there, enough power in terms of their reserve squad there that they can get through this and hope that they come back. But I think that when you have big guys like that, they tend to tighten up in a bunch of areas. That's just my doctor's.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, doctor. And Jackie, hearing Cashman today come out and say, Stan's going to miss opening day. Judge, we don't know. It's a third round of tests for him on his shoulder and pec.
Yeah. The Judge thing is just curious to me. It went from his shoulder to his pec. Yeah. It makes it sound a little bit like the neck injury I had. I hope to God that isn't what it is for his sake. I don't like the sound of that. But these guys are right. The Yankees are very deep. But how much can you ask Brett Gardner to do? The guy's like in his mid to late 30s. And you're going to, you know, the older he gets, the more it seems like they need him to play every season. Is that really going to be your strategy going forward? They need these guys back if they want to win the World.
Frank, do you need to hear an update every single day if you're a Yankee fan?
It becomes a little much. But remember, the one thing about the division, Tampa's good, Toronto is good, but you still have the Orioles, no offense to our good friends in Baltimore, and the Red Sox aren't going to be what they were last season with all those deals that they made.
All right, buy or sell is next for us. And we're going to talk about a story. I'm not sure if you saw this, Frank. The Knicks and Spike Lee. The Knicks released a statement, by the way, asking Spike not to perpetuate drama.
I didn't hear about this.
Is this even interesting to anybody outside of New York? Is this even remotely sports? We'll talk about it.
Reggie Miller cares.
By yourself.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The Rockets are in trouble if they have to play the Knicks in the finals. New York undefeated in the Leon Rose era, and undefeated when video leaks of them and Spike Lee at odds over which door to walk in. Let's dive in here. Knicks statement that they don't want Lee entering through employee entrance, only VIP entrance. Please don't perpetuate drama, and that the idea Lee's a victim is laughable. Speaking of laughable, here's Spike earlier than that, shockingly available and dressed for the weather on First Take.
This is garden spin. I put my hands behind my back and I said, arrest me like my brother Charles Oakley.
Are you going back to a Knicks game this year?
Not this year.
I don't know. Frank, Team Knicks, Team Spike, or are you retiring and you're getting out of this whole business?
you know, all of us on the panel have gone up that elevator. That's the employee elevator. I've seen Spike Lee on there a million times. The same situation with Charles Oakley and Spike Lee. Right or wrong, what do the Knicks have to gain from going after the guy? The guy spends $300,000 a year on tickets. He's been doing it for over 25 years. Why are you picking on a guy? Big deal that he goes up that entrance. It's absurd.
$300,000 a year for 25 years. I mean, just think of how much the man has spent. $10 million on tickets, if that's in fact
he's buying power forwards for you.
Jackie Mack, how about you?
You know, if I had to think of one redoubtable thing over the last decade or so at Madison Square Garden, it's Spike Lee sitting courtside, taking all the guff that comes his way because his team is so incredibly horrible.
Right.
He never let them down. He stood there night after night. But I will say this, I can't buy Spike, I can't buy the Knicks. That's the most ridiculous statement I have ever seen a team release. Are you kidding me? The only thing you got going for you is Spike.
The all-time list of Knicks statements, though, is pretty, it's pretty expansive.
Oh, and, there,
yeah, so you're that's selling everybody. Thank you very much, Woody Page. I'm sure you're doing that as well. Go ahead.
You're talking about the media center of the world, and they're getting after each other again. This is the only thing we'll remember about this season. Frank is right. You got to sell the Knicks. They put out a release on this that was bigger than that they have a new general manager. And that's Spike Lee. Why does he even go to the games anymore? I'm selling the producer for putting this
All right.
I'm selling Frank for me.
I'm with you. I'm with you, buddy. You know, you can stop with the selling. Kalish, how about you?
Me.
Even if I think Spike is embellishing a little, and I'm wondering how cold you keep it in the studios there. I feel for him there. I got to wonder why the Knicks are taking a guy who made one of the greatest movies about Brooklyn 30 years ago and practically telling him, why don't you go to Brooklyn Nets games next year? They're going to be more interesting than the Knicks. That's what I would be worried about if I was in New York.
Frank, you had asked earlier, when's Reggie Miller going to weigh in? He already had weighed in. You missed that on that one. So Reggie Miller is now involved. I mean, he may be the other party that cares about this. We're going to move on. Buy or sell two. Just when it looked like two guys being out meant no Sixer story for a week, roll tape. Brett Brown, quote, I personally am convinced those two are going to win a championship at some point. Also, quote, sometimes you have to get beaten around a little bit to understand what you have. Jackie Mack, buy or sell.
I'm going to buy it. I actually talked to Brett Brown just a few hours ago, Tony, and he said some of these very same things to me. And by the way, I believe him. I think he's right. I don't know why everybody's saying one of these two guys has to go. They're both young. They're learning and growing together. They can play two different ways with these guys. You'd be crazy to trade one of them. Stick with them. The only problem we have is when does Ben Simmons come back?
Okay.
That's the
So that was Mark Medina from USA Today had the quotes we gave, and then I guess he gave them straight to you as well, Jackie Mack. Woody Page, buy or sell Brett Brown there.
Well, did you ask him if he thinks he's going to be a part of it when they win an NBA championship? If they keep playing like this year, he's not going to be back. They're certainly going to be back. I think it's possible if they play all their games at home. They're such a bad road team, but we still got to see them coexist before you can say that this is a championship duo.
You know, I'm going to sell it because even though I think he's right that there's too much talk about these two guys not playing well together, the East has changed over the last couple of years. You have a lot of good young teams and a couple great ones, or at least one great one at the top, and those teams are going to be good for a long time. There's no guarantees just by climbing the ladder a little bit, the Sixers are going to get where they want to go.
Okay, so I agree with the coach here. They need both of them in order to win a championship, and I'm selling you, Tony Reale. How do you read that statement and don't have the New England accent that Brett Brown has? Like a character from The Departed.
Right.
That's how you have to read
Thank
it.
You.
Come on.
Brett Brown is from Maine. I get it. He's a Maine. Microprocessors. Are you happy? All right. Tim Kalish.
There you go.
Frank Isola. Done.
Bahama?
Page and McMullen. This has got to be the 60th all-time meeting. I wonder who's got the head-to-head advantage. Showdown in 2 minutes.
She's got to have it, Tony. She's got to have it.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Trevor Bauer and spring training fun. So check this out. He's aware that there's been a sign-stealing scandal going on in Major League Baseball, And it appears he took matters into his own hands yesterday, telling batters what he was going to throw. Actually got an out of it. Funny or not funny, Woody Page?
I think it's hilarious. I mean, people are reaching out and hitting the Astros. They're talking about the Astros. He actually said, I'm just going to float them up there. And he got the guy out. He's showing that he's a funny guy.
Well, it probably would have been a little funnier if he threw different pitches, but he kept throwing fastballs every time he told them. And I'd be really think it would be hilarious if he actually did it in a game that counted. I get what he's doing, but at some point, doesn't baseball just have to move on?
I don't believe that time's coming anytime soon, Jackie Mack. I don't believe Trevor Bauer is going away anytime soon either. We'll move on. Some more fun from spring training. We saw how good mic'd up players was at the All-Star game last year. Again, the Cubs with Rizzo and Bryant.
Oh, hell! Get down.
Jackie, after everything we just talked about, sneakiness of stealing, should baseball embrace the transparency?
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Mike, everybody up. Have some fun with it. Baseball needs this very much. They need to draw in young viewers. They need to put a smile on people's faces. I'm all for this.
Jackie, you're absolutely right. Baseball has never really promoted its stars. And to have something like this, at least during spring training, and people can get accustomed to baseball, it was fun yesterday with Booker.
Woody, is this your first show? You don't answer a showdown question with Jackie. You're right. Boy, Jackie, we'll move on. Showdown 3, I live for this story. Student managers dressing for the final home game is the best thing in sports. Jackson State's Thomas Snacks Lee got the call from head coach Wayne Brent, and he spotted up from the same place the floor he took the floor from. I love this. Woody, you were one of the people who didn't think emergency goalie Dave Ayres was good for hockey. What do you say to dressing student managers? What do you say to young Snacks?
I think it's great. I think he gets a commercial from this. Maybe an NBA team will hire him as a manager. And then every time that he gets a three-pointer, you can say, we want Snacks, as he did last night. I love it.
You know who should get a commercial from this? The coach, Wayne Brent, who was kind enough and smart enough to understand and put this in perspective. Congratulations to Snacks, but more so to Coach Brent. Good for you.
Did he just say he agreed with
her? I agreed with her, and this is what happened. She gets the FaceTime.
So have you ever heard of Chris Snow? You probably haven't, but you should. He's the assistant GM of the Calgary Flames, and at one time was the GM of the Minnesota Wild. He was also an ex-sports writer. I had the pleasure to work with him and his wife, Kelsey. Both tremendous journalism people who made that unusual jump. Chris has ALS. His father died from it. He had cousins and uncles who passed from this. The Calgary Flames have started something called Snowy Strong for ALS. Please log on. Help fight this disease. Help give Chris and Kelsey the strength they need right now. They need to hear from you. God bless you, Chris and Kelsey. I'm thinking of you, and I love you both.
We'll see you tomorrow.